Starting with COVID-19, where North Carolina saw another uptick in hospitalizations yesterday, with more than 3,800 now in the hospital with the virus. And the state hit another sad milestone this week. Now more than 15,000 North Carolinians have died of COVID since the pandemic began last March. WRAL reports state health officials say more than 30% of new COVID cases involved children under 18. That's the highest since the pandemic began. Some good news on campus, though, as UNC officials are reporting a decline in cases for the second week in a row. There have been 516 cases reported among UNC students since the beginning of August, but campus health officials this week said, as far as they're aware, there have been zero student hospitalizations so far this semester. 92% of UNC students have attested to being vaccinated, and health experts say those vaccines are very effective at preventing severe cases of COVID, even in those rare instances when breakthrough cases occur. Local officials are continuing to promote vaccinations, including on campus. UNC will be offering free vaccines at Keenan Stadium tomorrow from 4 to 7 ahead of the football game. Anyone who gets a shot there will also get 2 free tickets to an upcoming game of your choice, and that includes several games that are sold out. Some public officials are urging UNC to go a lot further, though, including State House Representative Greg Meyer. He had harsh words on Twitter yesterday for university officials for going forward with a capacity crowd at Keenan without requiring vaccinations or masks. Meanwhile, the pandemic is still affecting our community in numerous ways, including on the buses. Chapel Hill Transit yesterday announced a temporary reduction in service until they're able to hire more drivers. Most notably, they'll be ending most routes around 8 p.m., and some routes will only run during the morning and afternoon commutes. You can get all the details on our website, chapelboro.com. Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools is also dealing with the bus driver shortage. They've just announced a new incentives program to attract more applicants. And yesterday, the organizers of the annual Hog Day Festival in Hillsboro announced they've decided to cancel this year's event. That was set to take place later this month. In other news this week, we're also remembering another catastrophic event of a different kind. Tomorrow marks the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. 97.9 The Hill spoke with local first responders about their experience and about how 9/11 has impacted all of us since. Ava Pukach has more.
On September 11th, 2001, Kirby Saunders, the now director of Orange County Emergency Services, was a 19-year-old college student in Virginia. 48 hours after the attack, he and two classmates were standing outside a pile of rubble at Ground Zero in New York City.
It was not our intention to be there. We went to New York City to assist in any other way we could. At the time, we were EMTs and firefighters and just really had a calling to act and to help in any way we could.
Saunders said he spent about 7 days helping in the recovery effort. He said he dedicated his career after his experiences on 9/11, saying his true calling was emergency management.
So when I look back on 9/11, certainly it's a point of somber reflection and remembrance.
But Saunders said those memories are quickly replaced by memories of smiles and hugs from people in New York City during the recovery. He remembers the homemade posters and cards and meals provided to him and other first responders.
And just the complete gratitude and compassion and care that we all felt for one another as Americans, but also as human beings.
Hundreds of miles away from Saunders, Sheriff Charles Blackwood experienced 9/11 in Orange County. Blackwood was working in the southernmost tip of the county and visited a home in White Cross. While there, he watched footage on the morning news from the first plane crash into the World Trade Center. Blackwood said those attacks on September 11th taught many lessons.
The main lesson that I think the emergency services community learned is we're never prepared.
While he wasn't directly involved, Blackwood said that day affected everyone in the nation, exposing the vulnerability of the emergency services department. He said law enforcement protocol has since changed to where every tragic event can be managed by whoever gets to the scene first.
Those firefighters taught us a tremendous lesson about owning your position. You're important, and you can take all the good things that come along with your position, but when the bad things happen, you've got to step forward, and they did that in an enormous way.
Saunders echoed that first responders and emergency service workers continue to learn lessons from the tragedy 20 years ago. He continues to be thankful for responders' service not only on 9/11, but every day.
For me, every anniversary of September 11th is an important occasion for me, not only to remember the sacrifices of the many responders, both professional and lay responders, in those buildings in on Flight 93 and in the Pentagon that day, but also to pay honor and tribute to the thousands of first responders that serve our communities each and every day and in many ways sacrifice every single day to serve others.
Several local events are planned to commemorate the 20th anniversary. On Friday, the Town of Chapel Hill Police and Fire Departments are holding a ceremony recognizing the 343 firefighter lives lost. 343 American flags will be placed on the Chapel Hill Fire Department Station 1 lawn. On Saturday morning, the UNC Army ROTC is holding its Memorial Stairs Run in Keenan Stadium. The UNC football game versus Georgia State University will also honor first responders. For 97.9 The Hill, I am Ava Puket.
And Chapel Hill's American Legion Post is hosting a 9/11 memorial event tomorrow as well, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Legion Post on 54 west of Carrboro. Now we head back to campus for some good news. First, on the medical front, UNC and Duke have just been awarded a nearly $15 million grant over the next 5 years to establish an Alzheimer's disease research center on the two campuses. That'll be one of 33 similar centers nationwide. Elsewhere, a new study has found a drop in alcohol consumption among UNC first years during the early days of the pandemic. It was an unusual time, but as 97.9 The Hill's Ben Rappaport reports, that finding has researchers hopeful it might be the start of a long-term trend.
When students were forced to return home in the spring of 2020, many of them lost access to the things that define college life: nearby friends, being in the classroom, and alcohol. Researchers from the Carolina Population Center and the UNC School of Medicine found alcohol use by college students declined 8% during the first 4 months of the pandemic. Binge drinking also decreased by 11% during those months. Dean Blackburn is the Director of Student Wellness and Associate Dean of Students at UNC. He said this survey data shows a permanently healthier college environment is possible.
All of that gives us information to think about how we might craft a policy that supports the culture that we're striving for. And we're striving for a health-promoting, informed culture where students have enough information, skills, and resources to make the best choices for themselves around alcohol.
The survey found social factors such as social distancing and reduced friend interactions were the main reasons for the decline in alcohol consumption. But with students returning to campus, Blackburn said it's possible those trends may swing back to the other direction.
The previous study showed us that students had less access when they were at home. We know by the nature of some campus environments that they may have more access or at least easier access to alcohol at a college campus and maybe a little less supervision from family members.
UNC researchers do not expect the decreased alcohol consumption to continue as students return to campus. They suggest targeted interventions to students who have responded to stress with increased alcohol use. Increased alcohol use is costly to the student's physical health and the local economy. In 2017, the UNC Gillings School of Public Health found excessive drinking cost Orange County $111 million in emergency room visits, hospitalizations, rehab, crimes, car crashes, and deaths. 45% of those costs are falling on taxpayers. Eleanor Landis is the director of the Chapel Hill and Community Coalition, which works to reduce the harms associated with high-risk drinking. She believes preventing a resurgence in underage consumption starts with education.
There's a culture shift that can happen to create environments where everybody can flourish. I think we often think about this issue of binge drinking and the alcohol culture on college campuses and assume that it's just going to be that way, that it's just a phase of life, just a part of the college experience. But we know that there's harm that comes from it.
With three classes of UNC students never having completed a full year on campus, Landis said there is an opportunity to make this decline more permanent. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ben Rappaport.
Finally, to UNC's Hussmann School for Journalism and Media, where basketball legend Michael Jordan and his company have pledged $1 million to support the Ida B. Wells Society, founded by UNC alum Nicole Hannah-Jones. You may have heard of her, to help recruit and train a more diverse generation of investigative journalists. The donation is part of Jordan's Black Community Commitment, a pledge he made last year to donate $100 million over the next decade to promote social and economic justice. His donation to UNC will go to support college internships, a high school journalism project, and summer programs at HBCUs across the state. Time is 6:17. 6:21, your time. Sports Now, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. We begin on the soccer pitch. Emily Colton had two goals to lead the way as the second-ranked UNC women rolled over the Florida Gators last night, 7-1. The Tar Heels are back in action Sunday on the road at Central Florida. That's just the start of a busy weekend for Tar Heel sports. Today, fourth-ranked UNC field hockey takes on St. Joseph's in Philadelphia. They also face Drexel in Philly on Sunday. UNC men's soccer has a big match at Pitt tonight at 7, both teams ranked in the national top 5 by College Soccer News. UNC, by the way, has never lost to Pitt in 8 previous matches. UNC volleyball is up in Ann Arbor this weekend for a pair of matches. They're taking on Duke tomorrow and Michigan on Sunday. And, of course, the Tar Heel football team is back in action tomorrow, looking to bounce back from last week's loss when they host Georgia State in their home opener. 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe has your preview.
After a difficult loss last week against Virginia Tech, the Tar Heels will return to Chapel Hill for their home opener Saturday night against Georgia State. The football program announced Tuesday that the game has officially sold out, the 6th of 7 home games this season to do so. It will also be the first time since November 2019 that the Tar Heels will play in front of a full Keenan Stadium. Head coach Mack Brown said he is looking forward to playing in front of 50,000 UNC fans once again, and also acknowledged the significance of the date. The game will be played on the 20th anniversary of the September 11th attacks.
It's a wonderful time to appreciate and say thank you to the first responders and honor them. I was a guy, like I said the other day, that I remember 9/11 vividly. It's part of my life. It will be forever, obviously, and it's something that all younger people need to go back and revisit and look at, because there were some real heroes that day.
The Tar Heels gave free tickets to Saturday's game to any and all interested first responders and their families. Tributes and commemorations for 9/11 will take place throughout the day. As for the game itself, Carolina and Georgia State have never before met on a football field. The Panthers, out of the Sun Belt Conference, finished the 2020 season with a 6-4 record, including a bowl game win over Western Kentucky. Brown said that rather than nitpick Georgia State's opening loss to Army this season, his staff are looking at how the Panthers finished last season.
But we go back to their last 3 games from last year. They were really good at the end of last year, and it's the same people. I think they've got about 15 seniors starting, and a lot of their super seniors came back, I think. So we're looking at who they were last year. They were good, and when you're good, you keep doing what you were doing.
Senior defensive lineman Ray Vohashek echoed Brown's sentiment, noting the Panthers' experienced offensive line. But he also said there are still things Carolina can do to give the Panthers problems.
They have a veteran offensive line. I believe all the guys are seniors across the board. Talented quarterback, a talented running back. I think they run a good offense. You know, they do a lot of things where they create cutback lanes and things like that, trying to get big plays. And I think there's some things that we can do to really dominate the line of scrimmage for us.
Sophomore wide receiver Josh Downs, who scored UNC's only touchdown against Virginia Tech, said the team has already put the loss to the Hokies behind them. Come Saturday night, he said the Tar Heel offense, held in check in week 1, is ready to start living up to the preseason hype.
Nobody's hanging their heads. I mean, we have tremendous ability, tremendous potential in that room. I mean, it's going to show in these next few weeks. I mean, we've been balling out all fall camp. We balled out in the spring. So, I mean, I think we're going to bounce back harder than anybody in the nation. So that's what I can say about that.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
Game time 7:30. Our coverage on 97.9 The Hill begins at 4:30 with Inside Carolina Live. There's also high school football action tonight. Carrboro taking on still unbeaten Chapel Hill. East Chapel Hill looking for their first win against Bartlett Yancey. Orange looking for their first win against Granville Central. And Northwood taking on Southeast Raleigh. Finally, in baseball, a ninth inning rally attempt came up just short as the Durham Bulls fell to Norfolk last night, 6-5. Bulls and Tides are back at it tonight in the D-Bat. First pitch is set for 6:35.